First Peter 4. This is a difficult passage, and yet the Lord has given us an understanding. We've looked at this many times before, and there's so many scriptures just like it. We're going to turn to Romans 6 in a minute. The problem is, and it's talking about the new man and the believer. He talks about our past life and our present life. Now, there's a very real change that takes place in a believer. However, it's a paradox. We've got this old man in us that still seems just as strong as ever. Doesn't seem any different. He's not. He's going to ever be with us until the day we die. But there is a very real new man, a new creature created in Christ Jesus in all of his people. It's an old man, a new man. I like that illustration of the two men living in the same house, don't you? That's the way it is. The new man dwells up on the upper floor where there's lights. The old man likes darkness, lives in a gutter in the basement, you know. And they meet together all the time and have a fight. But thanks be unto God, he said, who giveth us the victory. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. And he said, that old man soon enough is going to be put away forever. And there's no more matter. It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. We struggle with sin. The temptations are probably greater than they've ever been. As I've said, the child of God, Satan knows who he does not have absolute control over. He knows that, like Job, didn't he? He said, Job fears you for nothing because you put a hedge about him. Didn't he? He fears you for nothing. He can't get out because you've hedged him about. That's right. Aren't you glad? We're kept by the power of God. But he said, you try him and he'll curse you. Did he? No, he didn't. He didn't. So we're kept by the same Lord, by the same power, and it's new. And you know, there's nothing wrong with looking for evidences of salvation. Paul said, know ye not your own selves, doesn't Christ be in you, unless you be a reprobate? Right? Don't look to them. Don't trust in them. Don't try to get some assurance from them. Nevertheless. Don't you love John Newton's poem or his saying, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. And I'm sure not what I'm going to be. But thank God. I'm not what I used to be. And that all through the scripture, such were some of you, but you washed. You say, I don't feel like it. That's why Peter said, when the Lord said, you're clean. He said, wash me all over. I don't feel clean. He says, Peter. And what, you know, Peter wouldn't have been with the Lord right then. Would he? He wouldn't have cared. He wouldn't have wanted washing. You understand that? He wouldn't have been with the Lord. But the Lord called him out of darkness into his marvelous light, and that's the next message. But it all goes together. I've got some notes here. Martyr used to say, I've got some notes here. I hope I don't have to use them. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Workman that meaneth not be ashamed. I throw away more notes than I keep, but I hope, I really don't need them. I hope the Spirit of God will bring scriptures back to mind, thoughts, and so forth. But I went back and looked at notes from this in 1990. And I don't very often do this, but I did it this time. I've got those notes right there. That's what I'm going to preach from. And I'm glad because I still believe the same exact same thing. I started reading through this, I thought I wouldn't change it. I haven't changed it. This is what we believe and what we pray. Let's read it. verses 1, 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 6. And the title and the subject is Past Life, Present Life, or Past Death, Present Life. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And when he walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. In other words, that's what he lived for, or were dead in. We're in now, though now, but now. They, those same people you ran with, think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. See what he's talking about? He's talking about a new, I hate to say way of life, but it is. He's put our feet in paths of righteousness for his, not for our sake, not to brag on what a good person, but for his name's sake, his glory and honor. You see, what I want us to understand, and we do, this church, I'm so thankful for the understanding that you have. Melanie Hudson, I asked her to record her Bible class for me. And she agreed to. I didn't think she would. She said she was, and it was the first time, she said she was so nervous through the whole thing, thinking, I'm going to listen to this. It was fabulous. I thought, I'm going to use it. There's things that I learned. And I told her, I'm so, for lack of a better word, I'm so proud of you. You have such an understanding. She left no stone unturned. She said, seriously, she said, it's about Mephibosheth. How many times have I preached from Mephibosheth? Well, I learned some things. I told her, I'm going to use some of that, but I'm not giving you credit for it. Like Manoah's wife. There's Manoah back there. His wife's a woman of understanding, as is my wife. And so many of you are, these ladies. Where was it? Why did I say all that? I can't. But anyway, Paul said to the Thessalonians, see if you know these things. See, I know you know these things before. You know this. You know, we're not talking about establishing a righteousness. We're not talking about earning our way to heaven or earning God's favor and works. I mean, this is the last time I'm going to say this. Because the Spirit of God has given us an understanding. The salvation is in and through and by and because of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But we're created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is talking about the believer's walk. And over again, it talks about the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. This is the will of God, your sanctification. That you possess your vessel, that you not be given over. There was a time when you were given wholly to this world and the flesh and these things. But God delivered us. Not only from the penalty of sin, but the power of it. The reigning, ruling power of it. Though times we don't feel like it, but it's so. Why are you here? Why are you here? If you'd have known Peter before the Lord called him and saved him, you'd have said, he'll never darken the door of a church house. That old rough cussing sailor, he ain't. You know, he maybe tried to talk to him. He ain't coming. Yeah, yes, he is. And then he can't drive him away. And the Lord changed him. Like all those animals in the ark. How could they get along like that? Lord changed their nature. The lion laying down with the lamb. And they all ate straw. Not each other. That's the only way to explain this. And it's not
of
ourselves. They didn't have anything to do with it. That lion knew the reason he was in there. Noah brought me in here. I wouldn't be here. But he had to acknowledge, Brother Kelly, I'm here by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I don't want to leave. Shut that door and hitch it. That's what we say. Don't let this old man get out. He ruined me. But our Lord said he won't. You're not under the law. You're under grace. The grace of our Lord. And his grace is sufficient. Okay, where am I? All right. It says, verse 4, they think it's strange you run not with them the same excess of rioting, speaking evil of you. It's talking about the believer's got a new a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of masters, a change of family, of people, and walk, talk, everything. And it says, verse 5, shall give an account to him that's ready to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. And for this cause, verse 6, was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. We'll bring that out in a minute. So you might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And by the Spirit. It may have not the Spirit of God, he's not a hit. All right. Let's go back to verse 1. Now he begins by saying, gives a preeminence where it belongs. As Christ suffered sin. Christ came down to this world to save his people from their sin. And that's not just from the penalty of it. That's from the power of it, like we've been saying. It's a denial of the salvation of God and the work of God's Holy Spirit if there's not a real change in somebody. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But how this came about and the work done in us and for us is Christ and him crucified. Christ came down here to be made sin, to suffer for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Christ came down here to be made sin for us. He who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's righteousness imputed, and it's also righteousness imparted. Partakers of the divine nature. A new creature created in Christ, by Christ, who travailed on the cross till we were born. Like Adam in the garden, when the Lord created the woman, he cut Adam's side open, and out of his riven or wounded side, he made a woman. Well, when Christ was on Calvary's tree, and they cut his side open, he died, they cut his side open, outflowed blood and water. Then water and blood. It's justification, sanctification. You know what else came out of his side? His bride. His church. So, Christ suffered for our sin and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Yes, he did. That's how sin is put away. We can't put away one sin. Christ did it. Oh. He came to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right, now keep that in mind. There's no mortification of our members. There's no strength to resist except by looking to Christ crucified. Do you understand? As William Romain, we love that statement about Romain. Sin cannot be fought against, cannot be mortified unless you see that Christ put it away, or else it's a losing battle. When you see Christ, and don't you love it, Kelly, when the Lord says, sin shall not have dominion over you? I love that. I love that. Why? We got a new master. We got someone leading us, the Spirit of God. Thank God. We're not under the law. The strength of sin is the law. You know that? That means two things. That means that the law shows us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. It shows us that it requires perfection in thought, in word, in deed, and we're guilty. We were guilty, are guilty, and shall be guilty until the day we die. That the strength of sin is the law. It shows us, Paul said, I wouldn't have known sin except for the law. So I was alive without the law one time. He thought he knew the law. He liked being under it. He didn't understand it, did he? And Christ magnified, showed, listen, if you look on someone, you're guilty. All right? And the strength of sin is the law. The old man, all he wants to do is break that law. You give him something to do, you know what that old man wants to do? It's the opposite. Adam, and Adam all died. The Lord said, Adam, you can have anything but that tree. What'd Adam do? And that's what this old man did. But our Lord said, you're not under the law. You're under me. Oh, thank God. Married to him, doesn't he? And he takes care of us. He sends his spirit to lead us and guide us. He says, let this mind be in you, this same mind. Christ suffered in the flesh, and he was made sin. He rose again, and he what's the scripture says? He appeared the second time without sin. He was made sin, put in the grave because of sin. He became us. God crucified him, buried him. What does Paul say? We're crucified with Christ, buried. What else? Risen. And he says, risen to do what? Walk in newness of life. That's what it says. That old man. And that's what we all want. No, get put that old man down. Never let him rear his ugly head again. I want to be like Christ. I want to walk with him. I want to walk like him. I want to talk like him. Don't I? There's only one way. Look to him. I may say this 100 times. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. Simon Peter. He said, everybody else made, not me. Okay, Simon. You're going to be a shining example or a dark example of how as soon as a child of God says, not me, yes, you. But for my grace, but for my power. But now, John, you love the scripture. I can do all things through Christ's strength. A man can't walk on the water. A human being can't walk on the water. A sinner, a son of Adam, can't rise above the sin and temptation. He can't do that. Huh? He'll fall. Simon Peter did. He really did. How? Looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. What point was it? Now, look at verse 2 and 3. It says, he that suffered in the flesh that ceased from sin, Christ suffered for us to put away our sin. This is not talking about us acquiring or reaching some kind of sinless perfection or even progressive sanctification. Christ was sanctified. We're sanctified once for all by the body of Christ. You know that, okay? This new man, this new creature, is without sin. That's 1 John 3, isn't it? 1 John 3. And those that have been crucified with Christ have no sin. Isn't that good news? No sin. And my father used to say, scriptures are bifocal. Bifocal. It means a whole lot more than you, our finite understanding can know. Right? So that's what that means. All it meant. Hang on now. Paul said we know in part. This is very really dealing with this struggle in a believer against sin. It wasn't there before. Read on. Verse 2, he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, to the will of God. The time past of our life may have sufficed us to wrought the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, abominable idolatries. And now they think it's strange that you don't do the same. What happened? Look at Titus. Go over to Titus chapter 2 or 3. Titus chapter 3. has said, this new creature in Christ has a new will. Before, the only will we were concerned about is my will, right? Not now. No. Not my will. We don't want our will to. We want His will to be done. We want to know His good and perfect will and walk in it. So, look at Titus chapter 3. It says in verse 3, we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers' lusts, serving. Remember that. And pleasures, that's what we lived for, or rather were dead in. Living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But God. After, here's what it took. Kindness, mercy, and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Oh, He said, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. What is it? It's His work of righteousness. For us and in us. According to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's a new creature. Born of God. Renewing of the Holy Spirit. New man. He shed on us abundantly. He did all this through Jesus Christ our Savior. Justified by His grace. Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No, doesn't stop there. So this is the faith to say. These things I will that thou affirm constantly. What's that? The gospel right there. What He just said. And that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good work. Wow, it's good and profitable. You remember what He said about old Philemon? What He said about Onesimus? What Paul said about Onesimus to Philemon? He said, he was before unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me. Now you know Onesimus said, I ain't good for nothing. Ain't good for nothing. No. Not in yourself, you're not. In your quest, well, no good thing. But God's put a new man in there. He's good for something. What's he good for? The glory of God. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That can take an old rotten apple and make a good pie out of it. Oh, Lord. Go back to our text. No, we'll go to Romans 6. Romans 6, this whole chapter, we do well just read it right now. Romans 6. Talk about living in sin. Well, Paul said, you were dead in sin. You who were dead in sin are now quick and alive. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How? How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Here's a good illustration. You can take a sheep. You can take a sheep and wash him clean. His nature is sheep. Right? Follow the shepherd. But he's prone to wander to him. So will a sheep are white, you know, and they're good for something. Good for the master's use, and so on and so forth. They congregate together. Can a sheep wander off by itself? Surely can. Can a sheep fall and get dirty? Surely can. Will a sheep fall in the muck and the mire and get filthy and dirty? He surely will. Well, what's going to happen? He doesn't want to stay in that puddle. And he's not going to stay in that puddle. Why? Somebody's going to come get him and wash him again. Not eternally, but speak. Say, look at you. Look what you've done. Put him back on his shoulder, carry him. Left to yourself. You'll wander. You'll fall. You'll get muddy. You'll get dirty. Do you like it? Do you like it? No. Now pigs, that's another story. They want to stay there. And you can take them out and they go right back to it. You can take them out and wash them. You can't really clean up a pig. Read on, verse 3 of Romans 6. Know ye not, so many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death, were buried with Him by baptism into death, as like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Planted in His likeness in death, we'll be raised in His likeness and the resurrection. Verse 6, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Look down at verse 19. Verse 18, be made free from sin, you became the servants of Christ, free from the penalty of it, free from the power of it, the reigning and ruling power of it. Now I speak, he says in verse 19, after the manner of men because of your flesh. And your flesh doeth no good thing. It's a constant war, a constant battle. He says, you yielded yourselves before. You yielded. There was no battle, was it, brother and sister? There was no battle before, none whatsoever. You didn't have to yield. You pursued it. This is what I want. Like Moses. Moses was going to be next Pharaoh. He was in Egypt. He lived for Egypt, the things of the world. That's all he wanted, was it? Egypt. Something happened. What happened? Burning bush. He came down from that mountain with chains. Man. And it says he chose rather. Now, Moses, who are your companions? Not Egypt. I'm not of that. I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, reproach for Christ, than all the treasures of Egypt. No, this is not my land, Moses said. It was before. What happened? He's still a burning bush. Spirit of God. New heart, new mind, new thought, new desire, new creature. That old man still there? He sure enough was. Moses. So, verse 19, because of this flesh, you yielded your members to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, yield. You remember, servants of righteousness unto holiness. Servants of our God. Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Go back to our text. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. And he says, they think it strange that you run not with them the same excess of writing, speaking evil of you. Speaking evil of you. And brethren, you know, we're no better than people in this world, but they're not in and of ourselves, are we? No. But our Lord says that His people are, the world's not worthy. He said they're the salt of the earth, light of the world, doesn't it? I sure don't feel like it. I look in the mirror and I don't see it. But God says so. And it's just so, though. It's just so. When you think back who you're, your companions were and who you liked to be with and what you loved to do and pursued, and now who are you running with? Huh? There was a time when we wouldn't be caught dead in the church house. And now I don't want to be anywhere. I don't want to leave this place. That's what David said. I want to dwell in your house forever. There was a time I didn't want to be here at all. Now, like David, I don't want to be anywhere else. What happened? Our God. The gospel. So, but they think it's strange. I remember, you know, Mindy's brother and I were companions, partners in crime, cronies, and ashamed of it. But anyway. The Lord didn't do anything for him. He did me. And he, I remember when it started happening, he told Mindy, it'll hit, it won't last. It won't last. That's 40 some years. Why is it lasting? Because what God does shall be forever. Thank God. Brother just had nothing to do with that. And every one of God's people know that. And if we've done all that's required of us, we still think, I'm an unprofitable servant. And, you know, but I'm not going to deny what my Lord has done for me. And I'm so thankful. Okay, I'm not taking any credit for it, but I'm giving Him all the glory for it. Right. And they think it's strange. You don't run the same excess to ride with you. Now we're running this race, sitting before us, looking under the Lord Jesus back. They speak evil of you. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that's ready to judge the quick and the dead? All men shall stand before God someday and give an account. Peter preached that God is going to judge all men in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ. You know that? The book's going to be open. Everything that anyone has ever done, thought, or said is going to be found in that book. Nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. All the books open. Men think, you know, getting away and gotten away with nothing. But there's another book called the Lamb Book of Life. And you open that up and you'll see names, all right. All of them written in red. Covered by blood. And there's nothing. There's nothing in the ordinances against it. There's not one black mark on their life. Not one. There gave priests on it. Able to present us faultless. Did you hear that? Great message. Faultless. Let me end this with this is wonderful. I've told you before, maybe some people on the front row that have heard. This is great. My dad, when he was a young Armenian preacher, so-called, he was a youth minister and song leader of the largest Southern Baptist church in eastern Kentucky. 1,000 members. Zealous, just like Saul of Tarsus. Just like him. Oh, my. The Lord did something for him, didn't it? But anyway, he was taking a bunch of these young people somewhere in his 48 Hudson Hornet or something like that. 48. Where they weigh 100,000 pounds. You know, Stephen, out of it. All right? And they were cruising along, and he ran a stop sign. Just ran a stop sign. You know, they were talking and all that. He just ran a stop sign, and a car went by and T-boned that car. And just, you know what those big old cars would do? Just destroy that car. Thank God nobody was killed. But he's guilty. He knows it. All these witnesses knew it. All right? He was scheduled for court date. And as the time approached where he's supposed to stand before the judge, he's scared to death. And said he went there with his father. He took his father with him. My old pop took him there and sat on the back row. And Dad said that this judge was so mean. The judge was throwing a book at everybody. And he thought, oh, it's over. He's going to come. This is going to happen to him later on, John, when he comes before the law of God. And guilty. Well, all right. They tried case after case after case until finally the whole room was cleared out and the only ones left was my dad and his dad on the back row. True story. And the judge was, you know, looking down his books and he looked up and said, what can I do for you all? My dad stood up. He said, my name's Henry Mahan. He said, I was scheduled to appear in court this day. And the judge went, he looked. He said, it's not here. Y'all freak out. Dad said, he skipped out of that place. Our record's clean. Now you're clean. Justified. Why? How? God said so. And by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we give him all the praise and honor and glory. Think Dad went out and drove recklessly from then on? Careful. I don't want to be back under that law. It's a horrible feeling of guilt. Okay.